When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Welcome back, everyone. Another Tour Life here. You got me and Yuli, as always. We got a big, big show for you today. Kristen Tatar, Grand Slam. Do we hear an apology from Yuli today? Stick around. We'll find out. Andrew Fish decides to just absolutely take shots at the PDGA. Is Andrew and Fish, did we just become best friends? Find out. We're going to have Andrew Fish on Tour Life for the first time. Paul McBeth gets in the Twitter rant, and he goes off a little bit on Twitter. We'll talk about what he was saying. And then we have a fun battle to end the show. Yuli versus Trevor. Trevor will be live as well. Head-to-head battle. Neither one of them have any idea what the battle is, which is exactly what I want it to be. But we're going to see kind of, I think it'll be a fair battle. I kind of want it to be you, Yuli, versus the Bogey Bros. So they were going to be a team. Hunter can't go tonight, so it's just going to be you versus Trevor. We'll see kind of how that all plays out. We've got some questions at the end to answer from you guys. But Yuli, man, it's been a week. Where you're still home base. How was your past week?
Oh man, it's been awesome being home. I'll tell you that much. I practiced a little bit, but I've just been relaxing at home, home cooked meals, man. I've been keeping up on my disc golf a little bit. I've been golfing a little bit on the side, a little pickleball sometimes. Played a flex start, $15 C tier this weekend.
Is that like high for a C tier?
No, I think that's low.
Oh, okay.
It was basically just to get a rating.
Okay, so it's like almost like a, it's almost similar to like a league round.
That's all it was. That was fun.
What course was that at?
It was at Eastway Park. Took down Big Germ, so I'm proud of that.
Oh, thanks. It was actually like a legit C tier then. Like there,
no,
was...
it was one round, $15 show up. It was in. I ended up getting a 2-stroke penalty for playing a hole wrong. It was a real C tier. We got the ball. It was a real flex start, $15 C tier. I promise.
Oh man.
But yeah, so that's all I've been doing, man. What about you? Oh, big win for Pittsburgh.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get into that because I obviously flew home from Lynchburg to go see my first Raiders game. I'll say this, Kelsey absolutely killed it. It was very cool to see her on the field and to see her on the big screen a few times. I don't know if anyone caught her on TV. I don't know if I got any, I have to look through my DMs to see if anyone got any screenshots of that, but she absolutely dominated it. She did an incredible job. A couple things. Vegas needs to show up. I don't know what's going on. We have a problem. Okay. Home field advantage is a real thing in the NFL. I think looking at
spreads.
Not
when you're playing Pittsburgh, my friend. When you're playing Pittsburgh.
Looking at spreads, it's like 2 to 3 points sometimes of where if you have like a pick 'em where you just don't know, it's just whoever's at home has like a 2-point spread, right? there were so many Steeler fans there. It was quite annoying. It was actually very annoying. And I don't know. I'm going to be back in a couple weeks for the Monday night football game versus Green Bay. The Packers, they travel really, really well. But what I've been told is the Raiders Allegiant Stadium is like the Airbnb for NFL teams.
Oh,
like fans, when they want to go see their team play on the road, they travel to Vegas. And with ticket prices and stuff the way they are and how high the demand is, it's going to be, I don't know, man, it's going to be tough to actually have any sort of home field advantage for the Raiders. Also, all the people that are concerned about Jimmy G hitting on Kelsey, I appreciate the concern. I appreciate you guys looking out. I watched him play a full game. I am no longer concerned. Kelsey goes after winners, and I don't know if Jimmy G is the answer. He did get crumpled. His knees did get absolutely crumpled. Did it look worse on TV?
He looked hurt, man.
I thought he was done.
It was bad.
Yeah, I saw him jog off to the locker room. So I was like, okay, maybe he'll be all right. He looked really bad. He came back. He threw just a couple passes that I don't know if it's just because they have Devontae Adams and that's it. Devontae Adams, absolute monster. We bet the over 114 yards receiving. That hit super easy. My buddy that went to the game, Sage, he bet over receptions, which was like 6.5. He got that almost in the first quarter. And then we bet over one touchdown for him as well. So Devontae Adams won us a lot of money, but the Raiders are not good. I don't know if the Steelers are good. What's your thought on the Steelers?
Hot garbage. Just absolute hot garbage. The only thing that you can really watch with the Pittsburgh Steelers is watch JJ Watt
TJ.
TJ Watt come off the back and just absolutely change games. He is a difference maker. That's fun. We have some fast wide receivers too. We got a lot of talent. It's just
Pickens had a really good game.
Yeah. Pickens had a good game. Pickett though, it's just tough.
That was his first NFL game to throw more than one touchdown. He had never had a two touchdown game in his entire season, in his entire career.
But I mean, we figure out how to win some games.
You guys are 2-1. Yeah.
It's not bad.
The problem with
that's us every year though. That's us every year. It's pretty mind blowing that every single year we make the playoffs scoring like 12 points a game. It's brutal to be a Pittsburgh fan right now.
What's worse, being a fan of a team that gives you like false hope, where there's these Super Bowl like possibilities throughout the season, but then you just know when it comes playoffs, they're going to choke, AKA the Cowboys, or a team where you get a win against the team and you're like, oh, we might not be that bad. And then that team plays a good team and they put up 70 against you. And then you realize that your only win of the season is against the worst NFL team potentially of all time.
Yeah.
What's worse? Cause that's the position I'm in right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough position to be in. I'm not in that position. Luckily I'm a Steeler fan and Tomlin's never had a losing season.
No, that must be nice that you just have, that you crazy. Have the hope every season.
Yeah. But it's bad. We get crushed in the playoffs. I mean, it's been a bad probably like 6-7 years.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll be at the Monday night football game against the Packers.
Hopefully, what a game.
Hopefully these Raiders fans do not sell their tickets. Please keep your tickets and show up. Home field advantage is a real thing. And when the home field has a 3rd and 3 and it starts getting freaking loud in there, it pisses me off, man. I don't like it at all. Yeah.
Here's the thing though. If you go to a game with Pittsburgh there, there's a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans. There's a lot of Cowboys fans. There's a lot of Green Bay fans too. So it's going to be, I think it might be tough.
See what it's like when the Raiders play like the Browns.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If half the stadium is Browns, we might just be in no look. Now we'll
There's
say
Brown fans.
They might not travel though. I don't know. Cause a lot of the Steeler fans that were there were like, we live in Vegas and we're Steeler fans. And then some of the other ones we bumped into were like, we just love going to away games. And this is an awesome away game to go to. So,
Love it.
Yeah. Now I will say, first off, it being in Vegas makes it kind of feel like almost like a Hollywood game. Like the Los Angeles Lakers. I think the Raiders and the Los Angeles Lakers are almost very similar, because just to name some names that were there, you had Mike Tyson, who did like the ceremonial torch lighting at the beginning. Then you had to sing the national anthem. One of my favorite was American Idol people of all time, Jordan Sparks, sang the national anthem. And then you had Lil Wayne do the halftime show. So it was an incredible first game. And shout out to the Raiders organization too, because I think they treat the cheerleaders really, really well. And they treat the cheerleaders, friends and family really, really well. We got two tickets to the game and parking. So it was really, really nice. So I'm looking forward to it. I will be going to every single game except potentially the final game against the Broncos, because that's where going into what else I did, marathon training. Excuse me. I started my marathon training this week. So I am running a lot right off the bat.
How would you do that to yourself, dude?
What do you mean?
Marathon?
You have no interest in running a marathon?
No, I do. I feel like if you live close to me, I might just.
I'm doing it in Orlando.
When?
It's the Disney Marathon in January. Do it next year with me and Kelsey. Do it next year with me and Kelsey. Because Kelsey's going to, if she's not,
I've never done it, but I've always wanted to do it. And if I wait like 3 to 4 more years, my knees are just going to.
You might be done. Yeah.
It's going to.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Hunter.
But I do have interests.
Me, Hunter, and Jason are all doing the marathon and Disney in January. So I'll let you know how that goes. But I've already knocked out 2 4-mile runs, an 8-mile run, and then a speed workout was yesterday. So we're getting after quickly here. Where is this? Marathons are meh. I have done 2 in a triathlon. They suck. Okay, well, this sounds like the person that doesn't know what a runner's high is. That's what Nathaniel sounds like. If you know what a runner's high is, you appreciate marathons, man. They are fire. And then the other thing I did is I went back and played one of the first, one of the first courses I ever played in Vegas, Pecoli Ranch. It was very interesting because, okay, first off, if you've never played this course, go and watch Foundation Disc Golf's latest video. They did their bogey pro battle.
Is it the one that goes
there
through all the houses?
Yes. It's so scary.
That place is gnarly.
There's like a walking path where just people are just walking around corners. It's a wild course that I don't know how they got that approved. But the thing that I thought was crazy is when I first went out there and played it, I think it was like in 2020 or 2021. It was roughly around the same time I went out there in October, roughly around the same time of day. No one was out there. It was just me. This week, so many people were out there, dude. Disc golf obviously has blown up. We all know that. But when you see it firsthand like that, it's nuts. Did you see the W.R. Jackson post where there's like 40 people waiting to tee off at W.R. Jackson because it's, you know, going to not exist anymore? Did you see that?
No way.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that, but I can understand it, man. That course was sweet.
Yeah. It seems like people are kind of making it apparent to make moves and do it. So, but you have the ad read for this week. So go ahead and fire that away.
Let me pull it up really fast. This one I'm excited about. This is, brought to you by the Power Disc Golf Academy real quick. Have you guys ever heard of the Power Disc Golf Academy? It's an academy that I coach with video tutorials on all aspects of disc golf. How many times have you finished a round and thought, man, I should have been 7 strokes better? Lack of distance, missed putts, missed fairways, inaccurate shots, can be a big problem for your score. The Power Disc Golf Academy can help fix that, as it has for, I think we just reached 5,000 students.
Oh, wow.
Not only do I teach lessons on everything from proper mechanics, putting, throwing, decision making, and mental game, but now, as of the last couple of weeks, Simon Lazat has joined our instructional team, which is nice. Awesome. We have produced Simon's lessons, and they will be released in early October. To celebrate the addition of Simon, we are running a three-day flash sale from September 28th through the 30th. This sale will reduce our first year subscription to only $25, which is actually kind of crazy. To redeem this, just head to www.powerdga.com, and the discount is already applied to your check on the page. We are only running this for 3 days, so get it while you can. Our team, Simon, and I are looking forward to having you and giving you the power to improve your game.
I love that slogan, the power to improve your game. All right, well, let's jump into the USWDGC recap. They got to do something with that acronym, man. They got to do something. That acronym is too long. This goes back to my, why do we need disc golf in all our acronyms? I don't think we do. Hot take. I'll let you go first. If you have any words for Kristen Tatar and Kristen Tatar fans out there, I'll give you the floor now.
I'm not ready to give this one up. I'm not really? Ready to give this one up.
Wow.
I'm not. No, I am totally. I've been saying it all year that she doesn't like coming from behind. And it didn't look like it this week either. Final round comes around. She absolutely drops the hammer on him, making some sweet putts down the stretch. I watched a lot of it. Very interested in the battle. And I was thoroughly impressed. I hope, and this is a hope for myself, just being greedy. I hope that she can't, this is now weight off her back for when she's not leading going into the final round, because it has been a problem past.
Okay. I mean, I think this was one of the more telling wins that she has had, because her game was not where it has been. And we've seen her let these slip away in the past. And she went out and, even though she didn't have her A game off the tee this week, she was still had enough in the tank to go out and get it done. And she pulls. And on top of that, Yuli, this was probably the most pressured of all her wins all season.
For sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
That has
worlds, I feel like.
I think this might even be more for Worlds, because it's like, sure, you want to win Worlds more than any other tournament.
Dang, I lost you, Brody. He's gone.
Oh, there's a touchpad and mute button on here. My gosh, technology these days. What I was saying though is, obviously, yes, Worlds. If you're looking at just tournament to tournament, Worlds is always going to have the most pressure 1v1. Yeah. But this encompassed everything. This encompassed a huge history mark. This encompassed so much more than just one tournament. And taking that all into account, being able to do what she was able to do is very, very impressive out there. She pulls off the Grand Slam. This is now her sixth career major, 5 in a row. So she's on an absolute heater. And the graphic that Silas had up earlier with all the trophies and stuff, that's one of the sicker graphics that you can have.
So cool.
That graphic is
it's the sickest graphic, because nobody has it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's only one person with that.
And hey, shout out to whoever made this graphic for just completely like cropping out the Champions Cup trophy and just being like, we're not even going to show this trophy at all, because that was abomination of a trophy. But yeah, she takes it down, and she again just looks absolutely unstoppable. A couple interesting things here. Did you watch any of the live where Terry had like 15 different pronunciations of her last name?
I did. And he caught a lot of crud for that online, for sure.
What is, I mean, I'm just going to keep saying Kristen Tatar.
That's what I say, Tatar.
Yeah. Until she corrects me and tells me differently. I know when she introduced herself for some PDGA thing, it sounded like a word that I can't pronounce at all. And she also did it, I think, on our podcast. That was very similar to just, me not being Estonian. I don't have the ability. It's the same thing as like if someone were to tell me that their name is Robert, but they roll their R to say their name. I can't roll R's. So like I can't say your name's Robert. Yeah, I can't do it.
Imagine my name gets just absolutely botched as well. But you don't hear me correcting anybody on it. But I do see sometimes people online being like, that's not how you say it. I think people just get on there and as soon as you make any mistake at all, they're just on you.
Well, people said Ezra's name wrong for a long, long time.
Aderhold.
Yeah, but people were saying Adderhold for a really long time.
I mean, I probably said that from time to time.
Yeah, it is what it is. These are all things we're working out.
We all can't have a name like Smith. It's like impossible to botch. Yeah, but
no one spells my first name right. So, I have to live with that every single day. Kristen Tatar, first player this season, an MPO and an FPO, over $100,000 from prize money. Very impressive. And it looks like with what the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships is at, it looks like she could potentially, if she wins Throw Pink, she wins the tour championship, she can get close to 150, which is, gosh, it's very, very impressive.
That's half my career earnings.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Big yikes.
Here's what's crazy about like earnings. For the longest time, I still think I'm top 10 ever in earnings, right? In the next 2 to 3 years, I might be 50th.
Yeah.
50th.
Yeah, that's where it's just, earnings are not going to be season to season right now. It's a decent metric to compare players, but it will not be a decent metric to compare careers because you could have someone that's like a skill level where I'm at, and they could potentially make more money in a 10-year career 10 years from now than like King Climo did his entire career, right? So we'll not be able to compare the two. Kristen did post something on social media. I just want to kind of highlight one of the paragraphs that she wrote to just again explain her dominance that she's had. She says, during previous majors, I've played consistently well all rounds and created some space between myself and other competitors. This time around, I ran into some serious trouble with my game. I was not as good off the tee as I've been before. My approaches were lacking. I admit it was quite frustrating at times, but that is when I realized that you can only win when you are in state of empowerment, even when you are met with resistance. This is something that kept me going after completely missing some of my lines. She had some absolute shanks off the tee, some very un-Kristen-like, uncharacteristic-like. I was trying to use Kristen and uncharacteristic. So some un-Kristen-listic like moments. I don't know if that worked, but she had some interesting throws off the tee, but she was able to back it up with some great scrambling and great putting. But the real story here, Yuli, the real story here is the putting of Hinna Blomroos. We haven't had to really talk too much about this because she hasn't been in contention that much, but here we are. Hinna, these are the stats, okay? These are the stats. From Circle 1X, Hinna was 26 and 40. Kristen was 33 of 35. I mean, that's... she missed 14 putts inside the circle. Kristen missed 2. And, I mean, that's massive. And then neither one of them actually putted that well from circle 2. You have Kristen 3 for 33. So she didn't putt great at all, but you have Hinna 0 for 23. I mean, what, I mean, what are we talking about here? Like at a certain point, at a certain point, you have to drastically just change, right?
No, and that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, if Henna is watching this, my advice to somebody who has struggled with the putter for as long as she struggled with the putter, I would say you need to, in this off season, figure out a different stroke and go with that. And that's me being honest to her, because the potential there is insane. I mean, imagine if she just hits half of those, or not even half.
No,
even
just a couple.
She didn't want just a few more.
Mm-hmm. And we're not talking, Yuli, about 30 footers.
No,
right? Like if it just happened to where she had 25, 30 footers and she made half, it's like, whatever. I mean, I tuned in here and there. I watched a lot the final day. I saw two putts inside of like 20 feet, 15 feet that were missed. This is something that is crippling her chances from winning.
Oh, absolutely.
And then when you miss one of those, it's like just kills it moving forward.
I mean, watching the statistics come in, because I look at them. When I see like an 80%, there's no chance that Henna is below top three. Mm. There's just no chance. When she's hitting 80% of her circle one putts, there's just no chance.
Yeah.
She's that good off the tee. If you watch her play, she doesn't throw sidearm either.
Mm-mm. Not often. Not often, yeah.
But she just shreds lines, man. Tight lines, too.
I think her and Evelina have the best back ends in FPO. They both have really good off the tee back ends, both really consistent. Henna did throw an upshot OB from like 180 feet, which was...
We all do that sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's more just a pressure thing, but it certainly is one of those issues that need to be had, because in order for someone to press Kristen, because right now, I mean, we're not even going to talk about the quadruple bogey she had to finish her round three, which completely just kind of took all the wind out of her sails finishing that round. That definitely hurt. She ended up losing by seven. So, you know, losing those four strokes, the final round, the final hole, that definitely could have helped. But when the putter starts, we know, like, when the putter starts feeling bad, when you start feeling like you can't make it, it makes every putt harder. It makes all your throws harder. Like, the putt is so important. And that's why we're seeing someone like Owen Scoggins have as much success as she had this season, because she's the best putter in FPO. And again, finishes second here. You know, like, that is something that if we want to see any sort of parity next season, and obviously I'm not going to get into all the terrible takes of saying like FPO is boring because of Kristen's dominance and all that. Kristen can't do anything about it, right? Like, she can only control what she does. This offseason, we need to see a lot of growth in the putting of a couple of these FPO players. And they're right there, I think, with Kristen.
I 100% agree. If they can make putts, but it's the field. I mean, look at Owen. She legitimately plays to the level that she plays at because she makes more putts than anybody.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, she doesn't throw it farther than anybody. She has a great flex backhand, but she's not throwing highs or sidearms.
No.
I meant flex sidearms. She's not throwing highs or sidearms.
Yeah, that's...
You know, she has to flex it.
Is that something late in her career that you would suggest her to try to maybe learn? Because there was a couple holes I watched where, you know, Kristen's throwing a flip up forehand.
Yep.
Because it needs to go straight down a tunnel and then finish a little to the right. And she's like flexing a forehand that's going into the tree line, and she's just trying to get lucky. Is that something that you would suggest someone that late in their career to try to learn this offseason, or is that too much?
You should always try to learn, of course. But the problem is she's so good with what she has,
mm-hmm.
that she's going to win tournaments with the game that she has. So it's kind of like, why mess with it? You know what I mean? Like, she's so good at putting. She's very consistent with that shot. She's consistent with her backhand. There's no way she throws it 400 feet.
No.
You know what I mean? There's no way. Yeah. And she just has this complete game that she sticks to. So, you know, one thing with people adding shots to their game, what people don't realize is it messes with you mentally. Like, you have to relearn how to score if you add a shot to your game. Mm. You know what I mean? There's something to knowing your game for like 4 or 5 years, adding a shot, getting into the, and then being like, is this where I throw it?
Yeah. Is this the time that I bust it out?
Exactly. And then all of a sudden you're thinking about that the whole round instead of just doing.
Mm-hmm.
Going on cruise control, that'll take you completely out of that cruise control thing. So it is a good question. Like, when do you add stuff? When do you don't? When do you not? Because she's the third best player in the world. I think it goes Kristen, and then Missy, and then I think it's Owen.
Oh, really? You would put Missy above her? Interesting. I think so. I think Owen's game, because of how great her putting is, and obviously Missy is one of the top putters as well.
Yeah.
But I think Owen's game travels a little bit more, or at least I've seen that. She's been able to compete a little bit more on open and wooded courses. But yeah, I think it's close. I think it's really close between Owen and Missy. I think you can go back and forth. You could argue between those two. But we need to see Valerie. We need to see Haley. We need to see Evelina, Henna. We need to see Sayananda. We need to see these other FPO players get into the mix a little bit more and get a little bit more competition towards the top, because Kristen's not going to get any worse. That's the thing. It's like, she's not.
I think she might get better.
Yeah. So
when you let somebody like that win every single tournament, you know what happens? They gain more and more confidence. And confidence in sports is something that's when you hit that goat mode to where you're just a winner and you believe it. Like, there can be somebody who's better skilled than you, but when you know, like, no, I'm the person to beat. There's something to that, because you're never worried.
Well, and she's won tournaments where she doesn't have her A game. And that's such a big confidence boost to know, like, oh, if my putt's off a little bit, I can still win. Oh, I'm not throwing it that well off the tee this week. That's okay. I can still win. So we'll see. I know we all want to see a little bit more parity, a little bit more competition. And again, that's not to take anything away from Kristen. It's just, there's a difference between when Kristen wins a tournament because she's jamming putts, she's throwing the disc under the basket, and then the opposite, where she's winning tournaments because her nearest competitors are missing 15 footers. That's when I think the interest level that we're wanting to have in FPO sometimes falls a little short. So
it does, but that's their problem. Like, Kristen's the best player. She applies the pressure to make them miss putts, because when they're on the putting green, I guarantee they're not missing that many. Like, that's the way that it is.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's hard to, like, of course we have to, like, talk about the other FPO players and what their struggles are and blah, 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 blah. But what it comes down to is she's just better.
When you also
she's doing what she has to do to just win.
You also need these players, though, to continue to push forward, right? Because what you just said is, like, Owen knows that her game that she has right now, she can win with the game she has. So, like, why should she go out and try to learn something different? I think a lot of people have that mindset, and a lot of people probably had that mindset before Kristen was fully touring, and now they don't. And so now you have to make a decision, and some people are going to make that decision to sacrifice more and put more time and effort into disc golf to get better. And some people aren't. And the people that aren't are going to fall down, and the other people are going to take their spot. So having someone like Kristen in the sport is only good for FPO. I know someone, I don't know who it was, someone made the title, "Is Kristen Tatar bad for disc golf?" on one of our podcasts this week. And a bunch of people are going nuts.
You muted yourself.
I can't touch this mic. I can't. I got to be hands-free. I got to be hands-free. All right. We're going to move forward. I think we got Andrew Fish in the wings here, so we're going to bring him on. It's been a while where I think me and Andrew have had a couple conversations, but Andrew has a podcast of his own called the Fish Golf Broadcast. Am I saying that right, Andrew?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's really dumb.
No, it is. It's BRAH-DCAST. So I was making sure I was pronouncing that right. When does that come out? Is that a weekly thing?
Yeah, pretty much weekly Tuesday mornings, as long as we can get everything in order at the right time.
All right, fantastic. Well, we appreciate you coming on Tour Life. I will say from the fans' perspective, a lot of people were thinking that when you would come on the podcast, me and you would probably debate a little bit about things that we disagree on. To many surprises, I would say, this is something that we both agree on. Now, you went a little bit hard in the paint at the PDGA, which I'm also known to do as well. So I can appreciate when someone calls out the PDGA for doing some wild things. And I just want to get your take on it. So the tweet in question here is the PDGA posted, discover how you can revolutionize how you organize, store, and display your passion with no free ads at the link below. And then it has the link to this company down below. So this is a sponsored post. Nothing really integrated in this post. And a lot of people had a lot of reaction to it. And your reaction was, why the bleep are you accepting sponsored posts, BDJ? I'm not bleeping kidding. I want a serious public answer to this. Then you went on to say, ultimately, it gives me less confidence that nominally objective procedures such as disc and basket approvals, awarding of majors, scheduling A tiers, and other normal operations are not subject to being bought as well. Finally, I would like to know who signed off on approving this post on the PGA website and put the PGA's various social media channels so that I can regard all their future decisions with, how do you say that word? Commensurate? Okay, that's a word outside of my vocabulary. Suspicion. So you have the floor. What is your biggest reason for not liking the PDGA having these sponsored posts? Because they did one also on Instagram a while ago. I think that kind of went under the radar a little bit. But what's your takeaway here?
Sure. If I had seen that one, I probably would have reacted similarly. Since about 2008, the PDGA has been hosting website ad content. And that's done through a third-party entity. You know, they're doing that through analytics, just like any other website would. Personally, I don't like that. I don't really like advertising, but I understand that that's a common practice. To me, the PDGA's goal and mission, and I've long been a supporter of the PDGA and its many staff. I feel like I have a pretty good working relationship with a lot of the folks who are embedded within the PDGA. Their goal and mission, in my opinion, as a member-driven organization, should be to support the health and growth of the sport of disc golf. And they are a nonprofit organization. I am not an expert in nonprofit organizations, nor in accounting. However, I feel that it is at best tacky to be accepting sponsored posts like this. And at worst, I think it leads to the scale of what I kind of got to in that tweet thread of there are a lot of entanglements where the PDGA is ultimately adjudicating, you know, when can various tournaments be scheduled, which players are eligible to play in which divisions. And I'm not speaking in like the like hot button divisive context. I'm saying like which players are subject to disciplinary action, which players are classified as 40 plus, et cetera, et cetera. Posting this sponsored post in the same format and style as event announcements, technical standards, rules changes, like important PDGA organizational business to the casual viewer, even though it says this is a sponsored post at the top, to me implies the tacit approval of the PDGA of this product. If you go back to 2013, when's the last time you guys thought about T-Box disc golf? Are you familiar with this?
Yuli?
Yes.
Yeah. So it was a vending machine that was supposed to revolutionize disc vending at courses. The PDGA accepted a sponsored post then.
Wait, was this like a red box where it's like you show up and there's like a
There's still some out there.
Sick idea. What happened with that?
There's still some out there. I think I've seen them before. Yeah.
I mean, think about the crummy selection you get when you go to a disc golf shop and they're just like out of everything. Fair. I mean, isn't that inevitably what that turns into? You can't, you can't keep that stocked perfectly all the time. Anyway, the PDGA
real quick, can you explain to the listeners what a sponsored post is? That means they're accepting money, right?
Yes. And I'll back up a little bit further. The PDGA is accepting the sponsored post under their media and marketing department, and they have a published policy on this. And that policy governs who can advertise on the website, in the magazine, in like at PDGA tournaments that, that are run by the PDGA. You know, tournament directors are free to do their own marketing for that sort of thing. So this sponsored post did follow those guidelines. However, it remains my opinion that posting it in the same style is problematic. So a sponsored post, essentially you are taking the copywriting that an outside vendor has written, which is obviously to market their product, and is paying the PDGA for the rights to have this sponsored post. I believe we're not naming any current
no free
advertising.
Except for T-Box. Shout out T-Box.
Yeah. So this entity essentially wrote a press release and is paying the PDGA to post it. They also are having, you know, banner ads or sidebar ads. I'm not super familiar with the lingo, et cetera. But they're appearing throughout the PDGA's website, just not on the homepage or something. And essentially, this is giving the PDGA's reach of all of its regular website visitors. It's giving them this clickable link to this unnamed product and their website, which at this time is a Kickstarter. It's not even a functional product yet.
Mm. What are your thoughts then? Like what's the difference between them? Because you're going to have people say, what's the difference between this tweet and the PDGA having advertisements in the magazine that they send out? Like what's the difference?
My first response to that is, why does the magazine exist? Like what kind of dinosaur logic is it to have a printed magazine in 2023?
It's probably a waste of a lot of our money that we pay in fees. I would say that.
I mean, at some level, you can look at the PDGA's financial disclosures and probably get some good round number estimates of what the operating budget is to do the magazine and whether that's offset by advertising that occurs in there.
Oh, okay.
I would say that traditional print media, such as magazines or newspapers, there is an expectation that there's going to be advertisements in there. And you know, you will see advertisements from Discraft and Innova and Dynamic Discs in the magazine, because that is a different policy than having that hosted on the website, in the style that this unnamed advertiser has gotten the sponsored post for, because the PDGA issues equipment approvals. So you can't, you know, Discraft can't buy banner space on the PDGA website for that reason. Mm. That is to preserve the appearance. That's to preserve the not having an appearance of conflict of interest for those equipment approvals. Okay. And I mean, if the PDGA is overseeing the rules and the administration and the long-term strategic goals of the sport, then I think that they should not be supporting any product, because supporting a product for a for-profit venture is implying at some level their approval of that product.
What if it's outside of disc golf? So like, what if it was like, say, some energy drink or something like that?
Does that rise to the level of a sponsored post? I don't think so. I think that's more like banner ad kind of thing. And,
well, no, I'm saying, what if they did exactly the same thing, but instead of it being like a disc golf specific product, if it was like an energy drink and there was a link to click to go buy the energy drink. Is that a little bit different because it's not, you know, their approval on an energy drink is not the same as what you're talking about of like, if they made a sponsored post for like a Discraft basket, you would have probably a lot of other companies that make baskets be upset with that.
Sure. And I think we could reasonably pivot this to say, if there was an official energy drink or truck or even disc golf basket of the PDGA for a certain term, that would probably have to be a competitive process for baskets in particular, because mm-hmm. those are companies that are like deeply aware of what all of their competition is doing and would feel very slighted with good grounds if the PDGA, you know, made a backdoor deal without doing that. If the PDGA were like the PDGA has talked previously, in say some press releases about, new hires or rehires, about engaging corporate partners. And that's something that the Disc Golf Pro Tour has been able to do with, no free advertising with some of their larger sponsorships this year that have really increased the purse. And we've seen the results of that, you know, on live broadcasts, or we've seen that on course advertising. The PDGA doesn't and probably shouldn't have that same flexibility as a nonprofit organization who is not, you know, able to make the for-profit kind of short-term choice. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. Are you on the board? What are you on, some board thing? Or is that like a pro board for the PDGA?
I'm currently the chair of the PDGA Pro Touring Players Committee, which essentially is it's a committee that has the opportunity to solicit feedback from touring players and present that to the PDGA board and or other committees for things like rules modification or tour standards changes. Currently, I am not representing that committee, and I am not representing the PDGA in any capacity right now. But that's something that Paul has previously been involved in, and we've had some successes, trying to increase the professionalism of how tournaments are presented and make the conditions within tournaments better for pro touring players.
Are you for the PDGA having their hands on everything, or more for like the PDGA, maybe they have their major, right? They have Champions Cup, and that's when they come in. Did I press the button again? Gosh, dang it. No. Where's your stance on what you want the PDGA's involvement to be with the Pro Tour?
That's a good question, and I'm not sure that I have a holistic answer for it. The PDGA has given an excellent foundation over its lengthy history that, you know, precedes all of us. And they've done that with a consistent rule set that can be adjudicated from leagues all the way up to the Pro Tour level. They've done that with training tournament directors. They've had that with like the long-term consistency of a pretty stable foundation. They don't do everything perfectly all the time. And I think we may be at the point where their involvement with the Pro Tour is as a minority shareholder. The Disc Golf Pro Tour is currently serving as essentially the vendor for the PDGA Elite Series. And that means that the Pro Tour and the PDGA have to work together in order to like achieve the common goals for scheduling and visibility of the sport. All of that is occurring like way above our heads and often like behind the scenes, because it's discussion between, say, Jeff Spring and Joe Shargaloff.
Last question I've got for you. And I just blanked on it. You got a question? I literally just blanked on what the question was. Oh my God.
I don't have a question, but I'm going to go with the first thing that we were discussing about like the ads that they were posting. I'm with you, Fish. I feel like the PDGA should be trying to sell memberships, grow the sport. And to post it in the same way that they post everything else is just a little bit classless. Just a little bit.
It kind of makes it look like
in my opinion, yeah.
It kind of makes it look like they're hard up for cash, and this very small startup, which I can't imagine what their resources are to be able to do this ad buy. And we can kind of like backdoor that if you look at the media and sponsorship package, which is a searchable document on the PDGA website. It feels just kind of small time to me to be accepting a sponsored post like this. And like this, you know, I probably overreacted initially. I came out really harsh, and I think it's a lot better for me to have thought about it and then be able to articulate why I think that's a problem in a long form way. But at any rate, I think the big thing that I want to get to is the PDGA should at all times be maintaining the appearance of integrity and neutrality. That doesn't mean that they have to, you know, stifle innovation, which was a phrase I heard somebody say I was trying to do. But what it means is that the PDGA should not be in the business of endorsing for-profit ventures that they haven't like thoroughly vetted, that we don't know are all in on disc golf and the health of disc golf.
Okay, so this wasn't my question. I have another question for you, but my big issue with this post is it was a post that like a social media person would make, not a corporation that is trying to grow a sport. And I'm fine with them doing advertisements during Champions Cup, the tournament they run. I'm fine with them doing advertisements on their website. I'm fine with them doing advertisements in their magazines. And I'm with you too. I think if they're like, this is the sport of the, you know, the official drink of the PDGA, the official basket of the PDGA, if it ends up coming to that, the official disc of, well, you wouldn't do disc, but you know what I'm saying? The official tee pad of the PDGA, I'm fine with all that stuff. I'm also fine with them doing somewhat of like an integration, right? So let's say that there's this new, I'm just going to throw out an idea. There's this new device that you put on a disc and you throw it into the net and it tells you all this information about your throw. Instead of them doing a post very similar to this tweet and just said, hey, go check this out, this is sweet, hashtag ad. If they would have done something at like Champions Cup where they got us professionals playing in the tournament, using the product and throwing it and show that it's an integration and show like, hey, if you're on the grounds this week, make sure you swing by hashtag blah, 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 hashtag partner and see what see how you stack up. When you do stuff like that, I think that makes a lot more sense. I'm with you guys. I think this was kind of a lazy kind of honestly won't actually really get that much integration or won't get actually that much benefit from the company paying from it because it's not an organic post at all. If I'm looking at that, I'm just like, okay, that's weird. It almost looks like spam, right? And so I think that's the big difference is if it would have been a post that or if it would have been an integration that seemed like there was actually some thought behind it, that makes sense because I, as a content creator, I can get away with saying, hey, go check out this product and then hashtag ad. And I'll tell the people that pay me money, like, this is not going to do well. Just letting you know, like if you want, because sometimes these companies, like the marketing firms, these companies like, no, I have this great idea. I want you to do this. And you can tell them like, my audience will not resonate with this, but if you're still going to pay me, whatever, that's fine. Here you go. So that's what it felt like. And it makes sense for like a content creator to do that. But from the PDGA, the voice, it just, that's what kind of irked me a little bit.
Yeah. And when I say classless, I feel like that's the wrong word. I think you hit it on the nose there with saying lazy. I don't think it was classless. I don't know what they got going on or who did that, because that would just, sometimes when you have one person who makes a small mistake or it doesn't come across as we wanted it, this obviously does. It makes the whole thing look bad, and the whole thing isn't bad. When I think about the PDGA, I do think about a buttoned up organization for the most part. As I look at it, I don't look at the PDGA and go, oh, worst thing ever, you know. And I've been around the sport for so long, and I've seen the growth. And here's the thing: the boom of COVID really helped, but disc golf has been growing for a very long time, and the PGA has been at the top of it. That's not on accident.
Maybe. I mean, a blind squirrel can find a nut.
Can I stand up real quick? The PDGA didn't do anything wrong here, according to their sponsorship and advertising policy. Whoever did sign off on this is following what the existing policy is. My premise is that the current policy is clearly flawed. And like, we as members should work to try to change that. There was 13% participation among active members in the current board election, or in the 2023 board election. If we of the
where member, does that stack up to, like, the voting, the voting for the president? Just so I can have like an idea.
50-ish%. I mean, it depends on the year and the turnout. So 13 is
really bad. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, that's probably in line with a lot of other, you know, member-driven sport organizations. But like, when there's low engagement in what your member-driven organization is doing, it kind of just lets things like special interests or a few individuals run with the reins, and instead of like us as players, and not just us three, but like the broad player base, being able to guide the sport forward in an accountable way.
All right, last question I got for you. And again, thanks for hopping on here and discussing this. With disc golf being as small as it is as a sport, you have to have a lot of people that are dedicated into continue to help disc golf grow. And a lot of times that means people are wearing multiple hats and doing a lot of different jobs. Do you think that there is a problem right now in disc golf with a conflict of interest? Are there people in higher power and higher positions, whether it's the Disc Golf Pro Tour, the PDGA, whether it's running tournaments, wherever it may be, do you think there's an issue of conflict of interest that needs to be discussed and potentially figured out?
I'll say yes and no. You know, we think of this sport as being really big because we're in a bubble. You know, you get 80,000 views on a video and it's like, man, I don't know 80,000 people. But we're still at 250,000 members, just over that lifetime. Brody, 15 years ago, my USAU number was 174,000. So like, that's probably doubled since then. Like Ultimate has more lifetime members than disc golf does. Now I'm sure we could take that in an entirely different direction. As far as conflicts of interest, if the PDGA was in the business of declining ads at all levels from people who had conflicts of interest, the PDGA wouldn't be able to accept any ads. I think that's a pretty fair statement, because anyone who is in disc golf enough to play tournaments or run tournaments or work on a course or like is aware enough of what the PDGA is doing, they are wearing a lot of hats. I think we're kind of at this like inflection point where we're not quite big enough that you can have a board that doesn't have other things going on. A couple years ago, Will Shoestrick got elected to a term that he couldn't possibly finish because the existing policy on who could be a board member was changed to exclude those with ownership stakes in a disc manufacturing entity. But there are still sponsored players on the board. There are still tournament directors on the board. It's necessary that our board be connected with the grassroots level of the sport. However, inevitably, staffers and part-time employees who are contracted to do, say, volunteer work for the PDGA, or board members, like, inevitably, there's going to be some level of conflict of interest. And it's up to the membership and it's up to good policy writing to make sure that everybody is accountable so that there aren't organizational decisions being made where one person can personally influence their own fortune as a result. I don't think that, you know, this simple sponsored post falls into the category of conflict of interest. However, I think it remains incumbent on the PDGA to give the appearance of integrity and neutrality at all levels.
Yeah, good point. All right, we're going to finish it off with pet peeves. First time on the show. If you're not familiar with this segment, this is our chance to kind of hear from you. I was looking through your Twitter feed a little bit, and it seems like you have, what do you call it? It's similar to pet peeves. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea. I don't think I've used the phrase pet peeve in the last 10 years.
It's not pet peeves, but disc golf kink.
It's not really a pet peeve. It's something that does get me going, though.
Okay, but it's similar in the idea of, like, it's the exact opposite. So instead of getting you going in a positive way, we're looking for something that gets you going in a negative way, something that you just can't stand. So is there anything that pops out at you that's right now in disc golf that is a pet peeve of yours?
One that occurred to me recently is when tee signs are, like, a lot of effort was put into a tee sign, but it shows nothing useful. For example, on a wooded course, if you just take the aerial but don't put topo or don't, like, delineate individual trees, and it's just this one big, like, big dark green mass that you're supposed to throw through, like, that's, you wasted all of your time doing that. Don't do that.
Tee signs are very, those are, I would almost love to just have a Rolodex of all the different tee signs, because they differ drastically from course to course. And especially when you get a course that's put in not by a disc golfer and it's like a city, you have no idea what they're going to do for tee signs. I mean, I just played a course that all their distances was in yardages. So it was like 23 yards was how far the hole was, 65 yards. So, Yuli, you want to finish this off here?
Yeah. Out of all the people you play with on tour, who do you look at? And maybe you're a little jealous of what they're doing out there, or maybe some good form. Who you got?
I think it's the people who are able to make hard things look really easy. Like, if I see Tristan Tanner throw 375 with a forehand and it looks like he used his wrist only, man, that's frustrating given how hard I have to work to throw 375.
Yeah, Albert Tam's another guy that just has effortless. And now Eagle, too, with his new forehand, it looks like just like an injured duck's wing, and it still goes like 375, 400. So I don't know how he's getting the power there. I know that a lot of people are asking that. So maybe we might actually have to have Eagle on to explain to us what he's doing with his forehand. But Andrew, appreciate it as always. Make sure you check out, you're on all the podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, all that goodness.
At least those. I'm sure there are more. I am not the one who posts them. So,
comes out every Tuesday.
Broadcast.
Fish Golf Broadcast comes out Tuesdays. Check it out. Andrew, appreciate you taking the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And Brody will be a future guest on that.
Hey, I'm in. I told you I would. So I'll be on there.
Thank you, Fish.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So that was the, I think it'll be a little bit more back and forth when I go on his podcast, because I think there's a lot of things that me and him have differing opinions on. But it was interesting to kind of see what his takes were, being also connected to the PGA as well, to see kind of what that was all about. All right. I think, do we have Trevor, Silas? Is he ready to go, or do we need to wait a little bit? Wait a little bit. Okay. I do want to talk about the trophy. We forgot to do it. People in the chat are telling me that we need to bring up the trophy. The PGA, 2-for-2 in their last two events here with the World's Trophy and now the USWDGC Trophy. 2-for-2, man. Not bad.
Not bad. Not the good old fashioned diamond. I like that.
Yeah. Nice little diamond. The logo's not the greatest, but I mean, it is what it is. You can't fault the logo.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of words on there. I can't really. Like, that's, I don't know what.
Yeah, you would need a close-up, no, nice photo of that.
Underneath US. That's like 8 font, maybe 6 font. That's way too small for me to see. But yeah, they've stepped up their game. So shout out to the PGA.
Let me hear the number. What is it? Is it like a 7.5?
This would probably be I mean, I have to take into account that this is a major as well. So that, that makes it to where, you know, elevates it a little bit. This would be like a probably seven point seven, high sevens. It's a solid trophy. All right. While we wait for Trevor, that gives us enough time, I think, to go over this Paul Macbeth tweet. Did you see this, Yuli?
I didn't.
You see? Okay. Well, here you go. All right. So this tweet popped up, and it's Paul talking about commentary. So he says, I'm currently watching hashtag USWDGC, and they are sharing stats, and they say modern era. What year did the modern era stats start? I feel they are just picking a year to create storylines. To add to my original tweet, they just posted that Kristen is the first FPO player to win all majors in a single season. That's not true at all. She's the first to win four majors in a year and the first official Grand Slam. Saying all the first to win all majors is a lie. So to break this down, he has a point. I believe it was like, I think Juliana Korver one year won one major. There was only one major one year that, and she won it. So technically she won all the majors that year. There might've been another year that someone won three majors, I think. So technically that is a lie saying that she's the first player to win all the majors in a single season. However, I get kind of what they're trying to say is like, we're hoping that these four majors stay the same. And these are our four majors moving forward, because having like the Australian Open bounce to be a major every once in a while, the Japan Open was a major at some point. Someone said the Scandinavian Open was a major. Is that true?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it seemed like there was an era where these tournaments were just becoming majors and then just like disappearing. And I can kind of see what they're doing there with, I don't know. It is confusing, I guess, but hopefully these are our four majors moving forward. But what are your thoughts on this idea of like calling it the modern era?
I don't know. I think when I wrap my head around it a little bit, I don't mind it because of what's going on now in the modern era. Like, we had the national tour back in the day, but now we have the pro tour, and we have a lot of tournaments being played per year at a very high caliber for the first time in a long time. Well, first time ever. Consistently being filmed to everybody to view. That's the modern era to me. When I was playing back in the day, we didn't have any cameras. We had a few tournaments a year where we might get 20, 30 people watching us. It was a different game play. Pressure was different. Really, the only pressure you had was your will to win and you know, want to make a couple $1,000s. Now you're talking about putts that are worth potentially 10 grand or more. When you're talking about endorsements, people winning major championships is a big time lucrative move. You have to play in front of sometimes thousands of people now. You also have to play in front of a camera where thousands of people are watching. So it is the modern era, and I don't mind that because there are different factors that go into winning tournaments at this level now.
My take on this, it seemed like Paul, because most of the time we don't really see Paul speak out unless something like kind of strikes a nerve with him personally. And so even though they weren't going after him in this scenario, and they were kind of trying to put Kristen above all these past legends of disc golf, he might be hearing that same. And we've talked about it, right? We've talked about Paul winning his world championships when he won them. It's different now because we're seeing so many better players come up. The competition's stiffer. So my crazy example to this is if I just started a sport tomorrow, let's say I created pickleball spike ball, and it's a combination of those two sports. And we held our first world championship like 2 months after I started it. There might be like five people competing in it, and I might be the best in the world because I'm beating those five people. Now, if you expand that further and further and further, the competition is going to get better and better and better and better. And I think even though disc golf has been around for several decades, we are still super in the infancy of it. And so when we compare to like the NFL, the NBA, and all these other sports that have been around for much longer than disc golf, the differences in decades from the NBA to the NFL to soccer to tennis to any of these sports is far minimal compared to disc golf, but it's still, you can still tell. Like, people compare Michael Jordan and what he did, which was only several decades ago, to what LeBron James is doing now. I think what's happening right now in disc golf is vastly different than what was happening 20 years ago. And I think 20 years from now, the landscape of disc golf is going to be massively different. Yeah, I mean, that's, you can even go to 5 years ago, right?
Like, I'm sorry to interrupt.
This is a good now.
This is a good point to kind of validate what you're saying. I got in an argument with somebody where I said, I'm better now than I've ever been in my life. Mm-hmm. And they're like, that's not true. And they were talking about, like, you know, I've held high ranking a bunch in my career. And they're like, what about those years when I won all those tournaments? And, you know, I took top four at all the majors 1 year. And that was like, or top five, I think, at all the majors 1 year. And I'm like, no, watch. So I picked three tournaments. I picked Maple Hill. I picked, what was the other one? Maple Hill, I picked, or two tournaments, and I picked the USDGC. And mm-hmm. I said, pick my score, because we haven't played USDGC yet, but I said, pick my score, total score. So four round total score. And then I took it back to when I played really good. And he, and I said, pick a random year back in the day. And he said, okay, 2010, USDGC. So I took last year's score. I beat the score by 12. This last
and the course
year.
Changes aren't that much drastic.
No, they're crazy, crazy more drastic. The par has changed.
You're saying is it harder now than
it's
back
way
then?
Way harder now. Way okay. harder. And my
and you're
score
still
was,
beating your score.
And I'm still beating the score. Now it was pretty funny because here, let me turn my camera back on real quick.
Yeah, you're good.
It was pretty funny because I picked a year. Or he picked a year that was stroke and distance at the USDGC, so it really validated my point, which was awesome, and I didn't tell him that. So if he's listening, I'm sorry that I was dishonest. But then we went to Maple Hill, and I picked my score from last year, and he picked 2014, where I took 7th place, and last year I took 15th place. And we compared scores. My score last year was one better than in 2014, where I took whatever the place was, it was one better. The course is so much harder.
Mm.
Drastically harder. So when I say that, I mean it. Like, I should know if I'm better than I was back then. Now, I've lost a few skills that I used to have, but the courses are nuts. If you took the best players in the world and you back then and you put them on these courses, they're not beating these guys. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. And that and here's what's crazy is it makes people so angry to hear that who played back then because I don't know why, because I played back then. And now I'm getting beat by 15, 20 strokes a tournament and getting decent placement. You know what I mean? Which is fine. That's how much better the competition is. So there is a big time gap between how good people were then and how good people are now. Just and look again, at the scores.
We only have like what our eyeballs are seeing. And, you know, when I'm watching UFC and Ronda Rousey is tapping, getting people to tap out within 5 seconds, 15 seconds, everyone's just like, oh my God, she's the most incredible fighter of all time. And when you go back and look at what she was able to do in that time period, yes, she was super dominant.
Absolutely.
But if Ronda Rousey would have been born 10 years later and is now in this time period of fighting, I don't think she even sniffs the top 10 because the game had evolved so much. She got into women's UFC when it was in its infancy, and the sport has just grown so much. And I think that's a great point. You know, someone like yourself that's been around and playing as long as you have, it's really interesting to hear you talk about your skill level. Even though your skill level is getting better, your finishes are actually maybe getting, your average finishes might be getting worse, but that's just because everyone else around you, there's way more better people. So like before, yeah, if you lost one shot, you went from third to fourth. Now you lose one shot, you go from 8th to 20th. So, you know, those things matter and take into account, but interesting. It's an interesting one.
It's also, you're as good as your environment will let you be.
Yeah.
Like really, like the courses that we played on didn't allow you to learn how to throw 700 foot bombs. Like, think about it like this. The Memorial, the Vista course was a bomber course when I first started, and I was lucky enough to live there. So my game was fit the mold of one of the hardest courses we play. And I was lucky. The Memorial was a huge tournament. So I got to play the Vista layout every single day. And I was ripping back then. I was getting into positions that you were supposed to get into to make the course as easy as possible for what we did back then. You go to that course now, it's tiny.
Yeah, it's so small. It's so small. All right. We have Trevor in the wings. Let's pull him in here. Yuli, I'm very excited about this. This took me. I had this idea of what I wanted to do, and I was like, I think this, all right, Trevor, welcome to Tour Life. First time actually on Tour Life. I don't know why it's taken us this long to get you on here.
Second time.
First time was you talking about the lawsuits. That's right. You are our source when it comes to lawsuits. We just haven't had to deal with lawsuits in a long, long time. Quick shout out. Make sure to go subscribe if you haven't yet. Trevor has his own YouTube channel. So if you can't get enough of Trevor, or maybe you just despise Hunter, go watch Trevor's YouTube channel. Go. Is it just Trevor Disc Golf?
Trevor Stop Disc Golf.
Go look it up, and you'll be good to go over there. Okay. So this was my crazy idea. I wanted to do a competition between you two. Do you guys have something that you can write down and show the camera? Sorry, that's kind of last second.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I do.
Okay, well, maybe Trevor, when you have, okay, Yuli, maybe I'll just have you guys say it at the same time once you both have your answer. Or Yuli, you can write down, and then Trevor will have you say it, and then Yuli, you'll show it. That's what we'll do.
Fair enough.
So this was the idea, guys. I have 20 courses that were played on the Pro Tour. I have one photo from the course. You have to identify what the tournament was. You don't have to say the name of the course, just what the name of the tournament was. You could do either one. You could do course or tournament. Doesn't really matter. Some of these are very, very easy, self-explanatory. Some of them are going to be a little trickier, and you're going to have like some, you know, context clues to figure them out. We're going to see.
Probably else if you were like,
I got to make this screen bigger.
Be fair though, you guys have the number one disc golf podcast, so you guys are watching a lot of disc golf.
This would be a wild upset.
Well, that's why I wanted you and Hunter to try to make it a little bit more fair with Yuli, but we'll see how many you can do. Let me just say, this took so much longer. Some of these courses have no photos, so I had to scroll through like the hundreds of photos of the Disc Golf Pro Tour to find these. So we might never do this again, but if you guys love this, we'll do it again. So here we go.
Okay.
Yes. Wait, can any of you guys see the chat?
I can't see the chat.
I can't. No, I never have
yes.
the chat on.
Answer, if you guys are playing at home, answer. And if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple, skip like 15 minutes. All right, here we go. First one up is right here. So Trevor,
oh my gosh, I gotta get so close to mine.
Let me know when you guys have the course. Silas, maybe you can make it as big as possible. Yeah. If possible.
Like, I'm looking at the picture that is 1 inch by 1 inch right now.
Yeah, same.
Silas is working on it right now to see if he can maximize this photo as much as possible for you guys.
Okay.
To maybe give you a little bit more.
I might be able to change
context
it on
clues
on my screen. There we go. I just full screened it. You still hear me?
Yeah, that will help you.
Oh, now I'm in business.
Okay, I'll give you guys like 10 seconds here. This is not good because I thought this was going to be one of the easier ones.
This is not easy.
I have a guess, but I don't think I know. I think I got it. I think I got it.
Okay, Yuli's locked in. Trevor, do you have a guess?
My guess is Jonesboro. This side of heaven.
Okay, Trevor goes Jonesboro. Yuli?
Right.
What would you write down, Yuli?
The Nashville one.
It is Jonesboro. It is Jonesboro. Yes! 1-0.
I was thinking it was 17 at Nashville.
That is hole 16 on Jonesboro. You can see hole 6 in the background across the water as well.
Yeah.
That's Jonesboro. Okay. Do you have a pin over there, Silas? Do you have a pin marker or something? I gotta do scores over here. I gotta make sure I got scores here. All right.
I can keep score.
I don't trust.
I'll just go -1. No.
The heck?
No, I wrote it down.
I know. All right. 1-0, Trevor. Moving into the second one. Here we go. Number 2.
That's easy.
Yeah. I told you some of these are going to be easy. Some of these are going to be a little more trickier. Yuli, you're locked in. Trevor, you're good?
I believe that is the PCS Open.
Yuli?
Yeah, PCS Sula.
PCS Open. Both of you guys get a point. Congratulations. All right. Next one up.
If Jonesboro gets me, I'm going to be so mad.
Here's the next one. A lot of context clues here.
Yeah.
I did Photoshop out the T pad or the T sign on the left. So there are some of these photos have been doctored by myself. just throwing it out there. I don't want anyone saying like, that's not a real hole. This is not a situation with the lady on the plane saying this is not a real hole. Yuli, you're locked in.
1 second.
Okay. 1 second.
All right.
Okay. Yuli's locked in. Trevor.
I believe that is Maple Hill.
Yuli.
Yeah, but doesn't he have to say the tournament?
The MVP Open.
I said I would accept either one.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to pull a fast one and say the Vibram Open since that new T-pad's in there. Could be an old one.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
No, we're not getting tricky. We're not.
All right.
I said, some of these photos were very hard for me to find, so they might not all be up to date. But, yes, any name of the tournament or course will work. All right, here we go. Next one up. We have 3-2 lead with Trevor.
I definitely know this one.
Okay, Trevor seems pretty confident with this one. Yuli, how are you feeling?
Good.
Okay, Yuli, go ahead. Or Trevor, go ahead. Sorry.
That is Milo McGiver. That is the Beaver State Flying Course.
Yuli?
Yeah. Beaver.
I was there this year. I actually got to see that one.
That is correct.
I made a putt on that hole.
I photoshopped the sign in the back. I'm just going to keep talking about all my Photoshop skills.
Well done. I think you did a lot of work to make this happen.
This took so long. Kelsey was like, what the heck are you doing? I was like laughing. I was like, she's like, what the heck are you doing over there? All right. Next one up. Here we go. This is on like the medium to hard difficulty here. Medium to hard difficulty. Yeah. This one, you might need some context clues. Might need to zoom in a little bit.
Man,
I'm gonna.
We're just gonna get real close to the camera, real close to the screen.
That's what I was doing. I was like, oh man, I'm between two right now.
I like that you guys are sweating. I didn't want to do all easy ones, and then I was like, oh crap.
I thought the first one was one of the harder ones so far, honestly.
I thought that was so easy. You had the whole sixes basket.
It was
the iconic, like, 16, water, all that. All right, Yuli, you're written down. All right, Trevor, you got a guess?
Trevor was trying to look at my notes when I had it on the thing. I saw it.
Okay, I'm going to guess that is the Beast, the European Open Course.
Son of a.
Yuli?
Yeah, that's the Beast. It's the Beast.
Nice. Nice.
I thought I was getting one.
Trevor, 5 for 5. Oh,
what did you write down?
Okay.
I wrote down beast.
It's going to keep getting tougher. It's going to keep getting tougher. Yeah. All right. Some of these are going to be real tough. All right. Next one up.
Ooh. What the heck is that?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, Trevor feels pretty confident. Yuli?
I should know what this is, but yeah.
Again, okay. The basket might have been doctored. A little Photoshop on the basket here. All right, Trevor, go ahead.
I believe this might not be it. I can't tell. Is it Wild Horse? That's my guess.
Yeah.
Yuli?
I got Wild Horse on
there. That is the Las Vegas challenge.
Okay. I better get the ones I played.
That's the very difficult par four that used to play as a par five, but now plays as a par four. Okay. All right, here we go. Next one up. This should take you guys no time at all, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yuli locked in.
Yeah.
Okay. Trevor?
That is Diglo, the toboggan course.
Yep. Yuli?
Great Lakes.
Yep. Moving. All right. That was a gimme. All right. Moving forward. Here we go. Next up.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
I believe I know what that is. Okay. I've got my guess. I'm not 1,000% confident, though.
Okay. The blue basket gives it away.
All right, Trevor, go for it.
The blue basket gives it away.
Oh, no. Oh, did that just second guess Trevor's pick?
It looks like Waco.
Yuli?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
It's Waco. Yeah.
It is Waco. The blue basket.
Very, I recognize that green. That green is pretty recognizable.
That's that par four that you see some people go sidearm and get all the way up to the ditch. Okay, next one up. Go ahead, Silas. Hit him with it.
Oh, come on now. Play this one too.
Okay, Yuli's locked in. Trevor, go for it.
That is formerly a good hole, not as good a hole now at Winthrop Gold.
Yep.
USD. Like it better as a par three.
Yuli says USDGC as well. Okay. So 1 point lead here. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7. We still got a lot left, so we'll keep firing away. Okay, next one up.
I need him to go blank. Oh, this is a good one for him to go blank.
This is one of the harder ones. This is one of the harder ones.
What?
I have no clue right now. I'm hoping for something to pop for me.
You got to use all the context clues here, guys.
Ooh. I have a guess. I have a guess. I have a shot in the dark. Oh, I have a guess. I don't feel great about this, though.
Are we talking elite series?
These were courses that we played on the Pro Tour / majors. So there are some silvers thrown in there as well.
There's silvers. Dad, why would you say that to me?
I can't lie. There are some silvers. Majority of these are elites. There are some silvers thrown in there. I had to get to 20.
That does not look like a fun course.
Yeah. That's kind of one of my clues, I feel like.
Yeah, just a Garbo course.
One that not.
It's in. It's got to be a Texas course.
Yeah.
I don't know which one though. I'm trying to think if.
I think there's a context clue too.
All right, we're doing 10 seconds here. 10 second timer.
10 seconds. All right.
9.
I'm wrong, but.
5, 3, 2, 1. All right, Trevor, go ahead.
My guess is the Open at Austin.
Okay, Yuli.
I said Belton.
This was actually, in fact, the Music City Open, one of the least favorite holes in the entire tournament.
Whoa.
Hole number 3, that new hole where it was like that weird, that really weird like angle throw that you threw through that gap that doesn't really exist. Music City Open.
I don't even remember the hole.
Hole 3. It's the
now
new
that you're
one.
Saying that.
There's like no gap. You're just chucking discs and hoping for the best.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right.
I can't still remember
one,
that hole.
One hole lead here. Next up.
Thank goodness.
Oh, boy.
Heck that.
Oh. Okay.
I might say too, if you guys have, if you're listening to this and you have courses that are played on the Pro Tour, take your own personal photos and send them to me because I might use them. If you guys like this segment, first off, like the video if you're watching this right now on YouTube. Let's try to get a couple hundred likes right now. So if you're enjoying the content, like this, we'll do the segment again. I'm going to need help from you guys because finding these photos on the internet for some of these courses is really hard. So maybe some people have some courses near them that they really like. You can take photos of your favorite hole or whatnot, or like a cool descriptive photo, and we can try to get Yuli and Trevor to come on here and do it again. All right, yeah, Yuli, did you write something down?
Yeah, I'm in there.
Okay, Trevor, go for it.
I'm going to guess that this is actually the open at Austin.
Yuli?
That's correct. Yeah, Austin.
Yep, that is that par five that was made famous by Eagles Grenade. It was that hole.
Was it famous by his grenade or that guy's head?
It was a combo. It was a combo yeah. Deal. Combo deal. Both of them helped out. All right, next one up. Here we go. Trevor still one shot lead here.
Oh boy.
The man.
What? Oh boy. I don't have a clue. Man, that is tough. Oh my gosh, there's like barely any gap there.
There is no, you know, there are some people in the chat right now saying the European Open, there are no doubles. So once a course is used, it is out.
Yeah.
These are all unique.
First thing I thought was that, but yeah. I feel like I know what this fairway looks like, but I'm trying to remember what course it's at. Whenever that comes into play. Oh my gosh, this is difficult.
You hit me with that time limit. I need
to give him 10 seconds.
Started.
10 seconds here, 10 seconds.
Okay. Oh my gosh, like think about what was being thrown. What course?
5 seconds.
All right, I'll throw it out there. I'm just going to say Idlewild.
Yuli?
Dang, I came back. We're tied. That's Emporia Country Club.
Yes, it is. Hole number nine.
I saw the golf cart track.
The golf cart, the cart path.
That is an old picture of that, too.
That is an old picture. Yes, it is. All right.
Dang it.
Next one up. Here we go. This is an easy one.
Oh, wow. Well.
Can we just go to the next one?
Yeah, Trevor, go ahead.
Idlewild.
Yeah, Idlewild.
Yuli?
Hunter, and I had a side bet on whether or not you were going to hit that gap or not. And I was like, no way is Brody hitting that wide gap. And you missed it.
Oof. Oh, when I was – wait, when was we watching that?
I forget which round it was. No, I think it might have been the first round or something, but we just – you were probably just like – I was like, no way he's hitting that gap.
Yeah, I think I missed that gap all every round. It's a tough gap. It's a tough gap. All right, here we go. Next one up.
Oh boy, what?
I'll give you a hint. Major Photoshop on this one. Major Photoshop.
What? That is like that confuses me more. I mean, that's just a grass field, plain and simple right there. Like,
where's the basket? Even... Can you point to where the bet, like?
The basket is in between the two tall trees on the right, way off in the distance.
Yeah, I don't have the foggiest
idea. So, like, the one tall tree that's by itself on the right, and then the other single tree that's tall on the left, it, like, sits in between those two.
I've got, like, two ideas about this one based on terrain.
Gotta use your context clues. All right, 10 seconds.
I'm gonna be so mad if I get this wrong.
It is a tie ball game. You guys both have only incorrectly gotten one. So it's been impressive showing from both of you so far.
Okay.
I just know if it's not
what
one,
is that?
It's the
what
other.
Is it called? I don't even know what the tournament's called.
Oh, that's interesting.
Can I explain the tournament? Will that count?
If you explain it enough on there, or maybe the location, you got to give me something to where I know course.
Oh my gosh, I'm second guessing myself so hard right now. I'm so stuck between
this
was, two.
This is one of the harder ones. This is one of the harder ones for sure.
I think I know it now.
I'm gonna just throw it out there.
All right, you're locked in here.
Wait. I'm trying to explain because I'm just blanked, but I think
you can just say ditto if I get it right. Or all if right. I say it and you realize that it was the right one. When you're thinking about this.
All right. Go ahead, Trevor.
My guess is the OTB Open.
Oh, really? I said California online company. Gooseman.
Yeah, OTB Open.
Yes.
Yo,
so that was the whole, that's whole online one. Company. That's whole one that has the big OTB sign. And so I had to doctor out the entire sign.
Nice.
We'll see how the
tutorial
chat
feels. Coming later.
Yeah, we'll see how the chat feels about that, but not knowing the actual name of the tournament or course, but we'll let it slide. We'll let
blanking.
It slide.
I was just right. blanking.
Next one up here.
Oh no.
What the?
Oh no.
Size, how many of these do you know without looking at my two. You've known two? Oh, Silas. Oh no.
Man, I don't know about this one.
Context clues. Look at the flag. Looks windy.
That could mess him up, Brody.
Oh, that was more of a joke of just knowing. I feel like everywhere we've gone this year, it's been windy at some point.
No.
Someone, Ron just said he's missed the only one he's missed has been the one that he went to. That's a tough look.
All of them.
Oh my gosh. This one, I'm really blanking on this one.
We're going to give you 10 seconds here.
Like that basket. I don't feel like I've seen that basket on tour. Like, are we talking about an old picture here? Is that what's going on?
5 seconds.
All right. I think I've got to guess.
All right. Go for it, Trevor.
I'm going to say that's Fox Run.
Yuli?
Fox Run. Yeah. That's
true. Whole 18 at Fox Run.
Dude, there's a part of my brain I didn't realize I had to access right now because like that just came out of nowhere. And I've done that like 5 times now.
Yep, that's like, whole 18. The different crazy. Colors of trees really messes with you too. Seeing those,
it had to be East Coast.
Yeah, seeing those trees change. All right, here we go. I like this is one of my favorite ones.
Oh my gosh. Oh. What, that obvious? Am I supposed to know where they Wait, this is this year though?
Yep. This is a photo from the Disc Golf Pro Tour. So shout out to the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Make sure you go follow, subscribe to the Disc Golf Network, do all that stuff. Okay, Trevor, go for it.
The Preserve.
Yuli?
Preserve.
Yeah.
I saw the red tee pad.
Exactly. The red tee pad is your context clue. I'm glad you guys
the
got that.
The first thing
one.
I thought about was when they put the flower beds in front of those baskets at Worlds at the fort.
Yeah. And Adam like almost destroyed them when he like had that simitas. All right, next one. Here we go. We got a couple more here. Four more. Tie ball game, four more.
Oh man.
Giving you guys a lot of signage in this one. Lots of signage.
Yeah. All non-branded signage. Well, not even the good Zuka one. It's not sitting on the side of it.
Did you put multiples?
No, there are no multiples.
Oh, I'm dead. I'm donezo.
I don't know if Trevor can get this one either. This one's a tough one.
I'm just trying to think of what I haven't named yet and where that could be. Like, I feel like, man, we've gotten so many of the tour at this point. All right. I'm going to have to just throw a crazy
10 seconds. 10 point. Seconds. Here we go. 10 seconds.
Where is
I haven't
that?
Written anything down.
Good thing you guys it's aren't impossible. Seeing the chat because these people in the chat are smart.
They're blowing it up right now.
Some of them are pretty, yeah, some of them are pretty good. Some of them are way off. I've seen some people miss every single one. I'm not going to call any names out, but I appreciate them trying to get guessed correctly, but some of them are just way off. 5 seconds. I said 10 seconds like 20 seconds ago. Give me a little extra time.
It's like I know this, but
we're going to need you guys to make a guess here. Yuli, you're going to have to come up with a guess. You gotta put something on paper.
I think I've got a guess. It's not a great one. This would be, I mean, this is a heat check at this point.
All right, Trevor, go for it.
I'm gonna say that is from the Kansas City Wide Open.
Yuli?
I can't even say what I wrote down.
you need to say it.
You gotta say it.
I put Nevin. There's no grass at Nevin except for like two holes. I'm an idiot.
That is the little par three with the double Mando where they had that weird Mando rule with Simon where he like made the Mando, but then it hit a tree and went backwards and he missed the Mando. That is the Des Moines Challenge. That is DMC, the Des Moines Challenge.
Of course I would forget Iowa. That makes
Thank
sense.
Goodness.
Yep. Do you guys remember that Mando thing where he like made the Mando, but it's that new rule the PGA had for that one season? That was that.
Dude, I was literally, I was so drugged up that tournament because I was so sick. I was on like every single round, I had like 2 DayQuil, and I was just
last season, right? The Simon thing.
Last 2 seasons. Yeah, Gannon ended up having like it was the Gannon versus Gavin Babcock battle. Okay, next one up. Here we go. Three, still tie ball game. 3 left.
Oh. RIP.
Okay, Trevor, go for it.
We do not love the Beatles out here. That is W.R. Jackson. That was W.R. Jackson.
Yuli?
Jackson.
Yep.
Jackson.
Yep, that was an easy one. All right, next one. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Trevor thinks he's locked in. Okay.
just going for it at this point.
Yuli's still questioning it here.
I've just been sitting on this one for a while. Maybe.
Wait. Let me think. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Let me write one.
If we have a tie, Silas, we're gonna have to get kind of freaky here with the bonus round, so don't throw it up yet. I'll explain how we're gonna do the bonus round because we might end up having a tie. Okay, Trevor, go for it.
I'm gonna guess the Portland Open.
Yuli?
Portland Open.
Correct. Glenn DeVere. Portland Open.
Glenn DeVere. I love that name.
Okay, last regular one that we have.
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Trevor's feeling good. We might not even have a bonus round here.
This could be bad, yeah.
Yuli might black out. We might have a blackout situation with Yuli here. Trevor seems pretty confident.
I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like I know what this is.
I don't remember any blue baskets in
there. I know. The basket is kind of weird. That's what's like kind of throwing me off a little bit because I don't know. I think I'm gonna get this wrong, honestly. Now I'm just like starting to doubt myself.
I think I know.
Are you guys both locked in here?
Wait. Yeah, I got mine.
Okay, Trevor.
I'm gonna say that is taken at Ledgestone.
Yuli?
Yeah, I have Ledgestone.
That is correct. That is hole one at Ledgestone.
Wow.
Yes.
That blue basket almost killed me.
I thought, well, they used to be red.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We have one photo for the bonus round. So this is how it's going to work. I'm going to have Silas crop the photo from the bottom up. So Silas, give me like, here, I'll let you know when I like it. A little more croppage. A little more. Like go up higher. Yes. That's what we're giving them. Okay. So if you guys, we're going to give you guys 10 seconds when you see the photo.
Okay.
And all Silas is going to do, if as soon as someone gets it right, you get one guess. As soon as someone says it first and gets it right, they win. Once you get one guess and you're wrong, then Silas is going to move the photo down a little bit and then reshow it. And we're going to keep going until we get a winner. So you get one guess per show. Does that, or,
okay.
Or should we just have a sliding scale? No, one guess per show because there's so many courses. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
I know it. North Cove.
Wow. Full photo. Silas, show the people. That was impressive.
It's pretty cool.
That was quick.
Yep. Spent many a rainy day at College Nationals on that thing this year.
Okay, maybe I didn't think about that. That the one course I picked was one that you probably played way more than Yuli.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
You played every other course. So
here's an honest opinion about this whole situation. I don't think I would have gotten this.
Really?
Like, I don't think I would have got it. Period. I've played it one time.
Yep.
I probably would have over time, but I think that's a fair win. I think that's a fair win for Trevor.
All right.
Because he got it within seconds. That's insane.
Yeah,
that game respects game.
That I thought it was going to take a couple scrolls to get it, but my goodness, that's impressive.
Unreal. Are we clipping that in the chat?
They might have to. Did you guys only, what'd you guys miss? One or two? Is that it?
Well, I didn't miss any.
I missed one.
Wait, why do you technically you didn't miss any?
Because he just guessed before I did, and I might have got it.
No. You missed one earlier.
No, that's what I mean. Technically, I only missed one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you guys only missed one.
True. He just beat me in the race.
That is
very
true.
Impressive. Very impressive. All right. Well,
I'm impressed.
Trevor, that was impressive stuff. Clearly, you did not need Hunter to help you in this endeavor at all. No. And if this is, you know, received well by the audience, we'll have to have you back for another competition.
All right. Shout out Brody's Risk Streams. 1-0. Got the dub last night.
Are you gonna join in to a custom game? Do you have what it's take for global domination?
Yes.
People said they wanted to see a foundation risk, which would be electric. So we might have to do it at some point. But Trevor, appreciate it.
Risk.
Make sure you guys subscribe to his YouTube channel. Trevor, see you tomorrow.
See you.
See you, Trev.
Yeah, he needs to get sleep because we have to ace a hole tomorrow, Yuli.
What?
Spoiler alert. We did worst shot triples at New London. And we set a line for ourselves. And if we didn't get better than the line we set, all three of us have to ace the shortest hole in Lynchburg. And spoiler, we did not hit the line. So tomorrow, I think at 8:00, check out the Foundation Disc Golf Instagram. We're going live. We'll be on hole three at Peaks View. We'll be on hole three at Peaks View. If you're in the area, come out. Maybe bring a donut, maybe bring some water. We might be out there for a while, folks. We're not leaving hole three at Peaks View until myself, Hunter, and Trevor all ace the hole.
Wow. That could take a while. Or it could be just like this. It could just be bam, bam.
What if we just went ace, 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 like all three back, back, back?
Possible.
Oh my gosh.
That's the way you got to think when you're doing those trick shots. Is
like, yeah, you have to have the mojo going.
Yeah.
All right. We have a couple listener questions. I don't know what happened to these. Do you have these, Silas? Yeah. I don't know what happened to these. I don't have them either on my thing. Let me see if it pops up on here. I can just read them off. Yeah. I'll just read them off. Okay. So here we go. Yuli, first one comes from Stephen Young on Twitter. He says, why do you guys think sports books don't offer disc golf?
I think it's a, well, first of all, I'm pretty sure it's tough to get the licensing for disc golf to be bet on. Like,
oh, okay.
Like there's certain states.
I don't know anything about that. Yeah.
And I also think that you would need somebody to get lines that were really good. Like they tried it one time and they just got obliterated.
There was someone that responded to this tweet that said his buddy or brother or something made so much money on the first round of the Las Vegas Challenge that he was able to buy flights to go out and watch the final rounds of the tournament.
That's cool.
Yeah. Apparently,
that's pretty cool.
From what I've seen, the only company that really got into it, they were putting out some atrocious lines.
Yeah, without, they were bad lines.
Without taking into account course changes, without taking into account weather. And so some people that were in the know just could obliterate them. So I don't think there's enough betting, enough action for them to put the time and effort they need into the lines to make them legit.
I got, you're saying like, I was thinking about like making a, like a place.
No,
I got like people already established.
Yeah. Like why doesn't DraftKings have disc golf?
I mean, we're tiny. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. It'd be pretty very hard for them to make, to put enough effort into making sure the lines are good. Yeah. So that's why. All right. Oh, I forgot to say the guess the course is what we're calling that last segment. If you guys enjoyed that, make sure you like, the video and leave a comment. Let us know that you like the guess the course and we'll do that again.
I like that. That was fun.
That was brought to you by our three captains. We've got three captains now in Tour Life Crew. We've got Thor Liam, Ronnie Baker, and Jacob Warden. Those are our three captains, in Tour Life Crew. So thank you guys so much for, making me spend 4 hours doing that this morning before my flight. All right. Next up here is from Baldy McBeardface. That's an awesome Twitter name. Or no, is this Twitter? Yeah, this is Twitter. You've mentioned in the past two-person cards, but how do you envision that would actually work? You need two people to call penalty on a third person, so then you would never incur penalty strokes. I realize penalties are rare, but 3 to 4 person cards keep everyone honest. So I think, firstly, my response to this is if you're going to cheat, if you're a cheater, you're going to cheat whether there's two people on the card, three people's on the card, four people on the card. You're going to cheat. You can't really combat cheaters. The rules would need to change, obviously, right? If we went to two-person cards at some point or three-person cards at some point, the rules would have to change where it doesn't need to be this voting system and majority needs to rule on certain calls or whatnot. You would just have, you know, if it's a two-person thing, you would just have to have each person agree with the solution. So like if me and you, Yuli, were playing together,
yeah,
you threw your disc out of bounds. You said, I think I went out here. I said, no, I think you went out here. Me and you would have to go back and forth until we're like, okay, I agree to that spot. And that's how you do it.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, golf is a game of integrity and you police yourself. You can call stuff on yourself. And I mean, that's all I have to say about it. I feel like calling people on rules, I don't need anybody else to call them on it. That's not the point. I'm not really trying to get somebody stroked. I'm calling them out on a violation that they did. And they, if I'm calling you, then you probably did it.
Yep.
Vice versa.
All right. We have Dark and Stormy here. Why isn't the USWDGC held at Winthrop? Seems odd to have three majors at the same course, but then the USWDGC is a separate thing, but Throw Pink isn't considered an FPO major. This is to you, Yuli, because I have no idea how this all originated.
I think they just have... Oh, I'm gone. He gone.
You're good. So for those that don't know, Worlds, European Open, Champions Cup, FPO, MPO, all play, same courses, same majors. Throw Pink is the tournament, which is an A tier that goes on during USDGC, which is a major for MPO. So go ahead, Yuli.
I don't know either. I think, I don't know why it's not just held at the same course and it's the USDGC and the WSDG.
My only take on this is I had the I had the thought that I think if the FPO wants to continue to grow, they will not be able to have venues and tournaments at the same place as MPO. So if FPO grew to the point of where MPO is right now, we can't go to Idlewild and have 260 people play that course.
Yeah.
So I think the future is Disc Golf Pro Tour with an FPO division and an MPO division under, but we're playing different courses, different tournaments, essentially.
Yeah.
And my thought on that is if you've got something already going with the USDG, whatever the acronym is, you already have this championship that's separate and you already have the history in it, just keep it going. Because I think at some point there is going to be a split because we just can't keep the numbers. It's too many people.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah, that's probably, I think you hit it on the note right there is you'd make the what is it?
It's the USWDGC.
Yeah, the USWDGC. They have it probably as a separate tournament so it can grow into like what we have with the USDGC.
Yep. All right, we got one from our, another one from Twitter here. This is from Jacob Balmer, someone that I used to play Ultimate Frisbee against. 812.B.2. Should this be enforced more? Players consistently walk away from putts or don't watch others throw. And we often get players saying, I didn't see it during discussions like Eagles crazy skip off the brick wall on final round hole 9 at MVP. The rule is a player must perform actions expected by the rules, including helping to find a lost disc, moving equipment when asked, keeping score properly. And then the second part is watch the other members of the group throw in order to ensure rules compliance and to help find discs. Thoughts on this, Yuli?
I mean, you should be doing those things for sure. Really? But I mean, not all, don't all the time have to just be watching the player throw. I think that's a bit ridiculous. Like what if I'm walking away from a putt, my guy has 10 footer, and I stop like this to not move. I don't have eyes in the back of my head. Am I breaking the rules? Technically, yes. So there are things that come up in the round to where you're gone. What if I have to go take a leak? Am I allowed? And I go, okay, I'm going to tap out and I'm going to go do whatever I need to do. Like that happens all the time too. So there's certain instances where, of course, if you're on a hole that's super tough with tall grass on the right and tall grass on the left, you should watch everybody throw just in case they get a bad kick. But yep, you should also be, if you're playing in a tournament, you should also be enough aware to understand those situations when you're supposed to really kind of focus in on those things. But just like anything, it's like,
it's super situational.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
If someone throws super deep into the woods, I'm not expecting everyone to, you know, hike 100 feet into the woods and everyone's watching them throw two or three times out. You know, you kind of just stay in the fairway and wait exactly until they come out. And hopefully, again, like I said, cheaters are going to cheat. So hopefully when they come out, they tell you, hey, it took me three throws to get out. And you're like, all right, well, there yeah, you go. All right. Last one is from our Discord. If you have yet, if you not have joined the Discord, check it out. discord.gg/foundation-disc-golf. It's completely free. It's a cool place to hang out, talk disc golf. Also, like Trevor said, I am doing Risk streams now. I absolutely love it. And we talk on there, and there is a Tour Life Crew spot on there as well on Discord. So this comes from our Discord. Summertop, he says, if you had to draft a professional ultimate frisbee team from those on the Disc Golf Pro Tour, who are you picking and why? So let's just go. I'm going to have you pick your like top three, and then I will grade you on what I think your top three would be. And then maybe in the future, we actually sit down or I sit down and actually do a little bit more of a grade here. But I'm curious who you think would be the top three Ultimate Frisbee players that are currently on tour. And I can give you, you want me to give you like the top 20 in standings so you can get some names thrown out?
I feel like I know I feel like I got a pretty good grasp.
Good idea.
Yeah, of who I would pick.
I'll rate them A to F. I'll give them a. What colleges do for high school recruits. So I'll give them a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, or 5-star.
I think my U disc isn't.
See what kind of star athletes we have.
Yeah. Okay.
This is also real quick before you pick, this is also like right now. This isn't like potential if they started training for Ultimate Frisbee. Plop them on an Ultimate Frisbee field. Who are you picking?
All right. Yeah. I'm going to get this. I'm going to say my number one pick as far as athleticism, pure athleticism, I'd probably pick for how tall he is, how fast he probably is, how good he is with a frisbee. I would pick Anthony Barilla.
Okay, AB.
And then I would go, I know this guy is a solid athlete. I don't know if he's tall enough though. Is length is a big thing in Ultimate, right?
It helps, but it's not. There are a lot of shorter players that are very skillful as well. There is a position for short players as well.
Okay. Well, in that case,
we don't have the athletes like basketball has. If we had the athletes like basketball has, there wouldn't be anyone under 6 feet tall playing Ultimate, but we don't have those athletes playing Ultimate. So
check.
You can get away with some under 6 feet tall players.
I don't know how athletic this guy is. Never seen him move, but on a
disc. I would probably say don't pick that person then.
Yeah, I don't know how athletic. I guess I would go Kevin Jones.
Okay.
And I think.
Third pick,
I think Aaron Gossage is actually a pretty good athlete, all around athlete. So I'd probably be picking him. But Ricky Wysocki is an animal with all sports.
Wait, are you taking Gooseman or Ricky as your third?
I'll take Gooseman just because I know he's fast. I know he's got good hands.
Okay. I'll go back to fourth. So Gooseman has some actual background in Ultimate Frisbee. He played at the University of Colorado on one of the, he wasn't on the A team, but he did play on one of the Ultimate Frisbee teams. So he does have some experience there. I have played him in ping pong as well. So he does have some good hand eye coordination. So I'm going to give Gooseman. And again, these are ratings off of coming out of high school. So I'm going to say Gooseman is going to be a 3-star athlete coming out. KJ, I think we have seen enough clips from him to, you know, he's a wiry guy. He jumps around and all those things.
Backflips and stuff.
Backflips and all that stuff. My only concern with him is he might not know what's going on the actual field itself. So for that, okay. I'm giving him a 2-star.
2-star. Okay.
He might be the guy that just runs deep every single time on offense. Like he just constantly like throws his arms up.
Yeah.
AB is a dark horse one. Cause I actually haven't seen that much of AB outside of disc golf. So I don't know exactly.
There's no way he's slow.
I don't know how,
there's no way he's slow.
You know that for a fact?
Yeah, he's fast.
You've seen him run.
I know. I'm pretty sure
he's super fast. I've never seen him run, so I don't know.
Well, check this out. What about who at his height in our game could possibly be as athletic as him?
Calvin? Gannon? Yeah.
Gannon?
I don't know. I haven't seen these guys run. I haven't seen these guys cut. All right.
Calvin's a good athlete. Calvin is like a good I played a little basketball with Calvin.
That's what I'm saying. If I was like, hey, pickleball with Calvin,
he's good.
If I'm like, hey, do a 10-yard out. And I'm like, do a 10-yard out. Like, are these people actually able to cut in and cut out, or are they slipping? I don't know.
That's true. I saw a video of Tristan Tanner. good athlete.
That would have been a decent pick. I've seen some videos of like people trying to do like push-ups and pull-ups and stuff, and it wasn't great. But again, you don't know until you actually see someone. So
straight out of high school,
I'm gonna give AB a 3.5 star.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of potential there, but again, I haven't seen it. So disc golf is such a hard sport to like look at how someone performs in disc golf and translate that over into a sport that requires a little bit more like athleticism, I guess you could say.
I also heard Prez was kind of nasty.
I've heard Prez is very fast.
Very fast, yeah.
I've heard he's very fast as well.
Dark horse Nate Perkins was like...
Nate Perkins could be dark horse nasty as well.
He was like a college like wide receiver, broke all kinds of records or something.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
I don't know. Or maybe it was high school. I'm not sure. Anyways, all right. Maybe I'm not a good recruit. My bad.
Okay, so tonight was the first night that we did the live. So if you the live chat with TLC members only, Tour Life crew members only. So we appreciate everyone in the live chat tonight. Hopefully that went well. If you're interested in joining the Tour Life crew, you can click the link down below. If you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, come on over to the YouTube live streams over here at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. I already mentioned Instagram live stream tomorrow morning on the Foundation Instagram. We're going to be trying to make 3 aces. We'll see how long that takes. We'll also be doing a YouTube live stream right here on the Foundation podcast channel tomorrow at 1:30. I'll be in the warehouse signing discs, packing up orders. Check that out. We've got some cool discs dropping exclusively at that 1:30 time as well. Me and Yuli will be at USDGC for Tour Life. So stay tuned for that. We've got a fun disc, an exclusive disc for Tour Life. People that want to show up and support will be there doing a signing. So stay tuned for information on that. And if you haven't already, drop a review over on Spotify or Apple if you're enjoying the podcast. We have currently 536 reviews on Spotify, 141 on Apple. I would love to see 4 digits there. So let's see if we can get to 4 digits. Takes a quick second to drop us a star. And we're going to highlight one. This is from Austin. He said, I love this podcast. I started listening to it a few months ago. And at this point, I cannot go through my week without listening to the latest episode. Brody and Yuli are fantastic. And I really enjoy listening to everything they discuss. I recommend this podcast to anybody looking to learn about what is going on in the professional disc golf world and wants to be entertained. So Austin, we appreciate the rave reviews. Thank you so much. Yuli, we're going to be having some interviews coming up soon. So I'll be getting in touch with you to see if you have time to do that. Other than that, I got nothing else. Yuli, you got anything else?
I don't, man. I'm ready to go get some dinner.
All right. Good show. Thanks everyone so much for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted,
where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Get everything for your projects at Menards and save big money. Keep your garage, basement, or workshop clean with a new wet-dry vacuum from ShopVac. It's not only perfect for the garage, but also works great for everyday messes around the house. Save big on ShopVac when you shop at Menards. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection, plus the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.